Hello, hello. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkamalam and Squamish-speaking peoples. You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/cjsfradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF-2573. Welcome everyone to Slumber Party, and if you have not already noticed, I am doing the show all alone today, but it is okay because DJ Coco is off in South Africa doing a field study, and I'm sure she's having a very educational and fun time over there, so I'm happy to be here today, although by myself. I do have a bit of a talk segment for later, and yeah, I think I'll get into the music a bit first. So the first song is by Aura Kogan. She is one of my favorite kind of local artists. She's from Salt Spring, and her new album, Hard-Hearted Woman, got released on March 13th. And her genre is kind of described as gothic country, which I really like. So take a listen.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I totally forgot to mention the name of that song, but it's called The Smoke, and that was by Ora Kogan. And next up is La Securité. They have a new album called Bingo, which fully releases on June 12th, but they've already released a couple little songs from there, and I thought they were pretty good, so I want you all to have a listen as well. This one is called Ketchup.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you're tuning into Slumber Party. I'm DJ Star. DJ Coco is not here today. Unfortunately, she cannot join us because she is in South Africa. But anyways, we are moving on. That last song was Divine by Gion from her debut EP Runt, which is a really good EP. We interviewed her on the show like at least a year or more, like it's been a while, and she's been doing a lot of really cool shows all across the city with Gion and Kid & Co. So I definitely encourage all of you guys to check her out. And before that was Detour by La Securité. They are a Montreal kind of like arty, dancey punk band. They're really good as well. And yeah, I think that was it. I think I'm also gonna get into the topic for today. And if you don't already know, it is Red Dress Day, and I'm sure a lot of the programming has covered this already, but I'm not assuming that you have listened to all of our programming today. And if you have, thank you, very committed listener. But so yeah, it's Red Dress Day today, which is the National Day of Awareness of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and 2S LGBTQI plus people. And yeah, so it's basically to raise awareness about the systemic violence that's committed against Indigenous women and girls, which is also not only committed but rationalized and justified through the racism and sexism of the justice system, and also just overarching colonial government excuses, we could say. And a lot of the methods that are used to like rationalize this violence are by police, detectives, anyone who's like investigating a case on a missing or murdered Indigenous woman. There's a lot of framing and pathologizing them to justify the inaction. There's indifference to violence, and there's been like a national inquiry. If you haven't read up on that, I definitely encourage you to do so. I think we did an episode on this a while ago where we went through a lot of the calls to action, but there are 231 calls and only two of them have been fully completed. And even though I know the Canadian government is very lacking with any kind of action for Indigenous people and, you know, taking action on especially what Indigenous people have recommended to the government, like pretty much like, here you go, this is what we need. And this was 7 years ago that the National Inquiry had been released. And only two of them have been fully completed. So I was honestly a little bit shocked. Like I'm not super surprised, but just like that, it's so dismal, the amount of action that has been taken, because there are the resources, and if it was prioritized more, then, you know, whatever else the government is doing, that is, you know, more important than this, then I think a lot more of calls for justice would be completed. And the ones that have been completed, I wrote them down just so you can have an idea of it, is they basically created a position for a deputy commissioner for Indigenous corrections to oversee issues within the federal system. So now they have someone who's overseeing these, I guess, more Indigenous related issues, but just because they're overseeing doesn't mean, you know, their concerns are being met or that there's other kind of follow through actions. And then the second one is implementing Indigenous specific provisions in Corrections and Conditional Release Act. So they both kind of have to do with the penal system and not really anything else, because I think there's a lot of different sections on the calls for justice. But yeah, so the implementation has been extremely slow. The report, yeah, was released 7 years ago in 2019, but was commissioned in 2016. So that's pretty much 10 years ago. And we know that the Canadian government has repeatedly failed Indigenous people, and even existing infrastructures that have been created in the past 20 years or so can be extremely difficult to access and don't serve the communities that they are designed to. And an example of this is Jordan's Principle, which is basically where Indigenous children, basically they have the right to receive care within 72 hours from either the provincial and the federal, because there was a case where the provincial and the federal government were arguing over who should, you know, provide the care to a young Indigenous child named Jordan, and he actually died because it took so long for them, and they never did. They never did actually decide on who's going to take care of him, and that's why, you know, he died, because of that neglect. And yeah, so Jordan's Principle was created so that it is written into policy, basically, that Indigenous children's needs should be met, health needs, and I think also physical and mental health needs should be met by the Canadian government within 72 hours, and that the federal and provincial government can figure out later who is responsible and who's going to actually be paying the money, but someone has to. And yeah, that's a really good idea in theory, but I think a lot of people are still, I've seen like news videos where families have been waiting for over 3 months or over 6 months. There's care providers that have not been paid back by the government for many, many months and are owed a lot of money. So there's a lot of like structures that are there, but the government is not actually executing them properly. And the inaction with the National Inquiry is actually a form of racism, because this issue is extremely urgent and there's significant consequences for Indigenous women and girls. Like the stat that actually spurred this study is that Indigenous women and girls are 12 times more likely to be murdered or go missing than any other woman in Canada. So, you know, that is still happening to this day, but there's not a lot of action on it. And that kind of leads me to thinking about, well, what can we do? What can you do? What can I do? What can you do as an individual or also all together? So I have a few little points of what you can do. One of them is writing to elected officials demanding implementation of the calls to action, and specifically contacting your local member of parliament to maintain the discussions in the House of Commons and bringing them to the House of Commons. So that could be Jenny Kwan, that's the MP for my riding, which Wade Chang, Gregor Robinson. If you just look up like who is MP in my riding, you can easily find them and their contact information and send them an email, give them a call, try to use your voice as much as possible. Also, to just vote for those who are going to prioritize the National Inquiry, but I know that is hard because a lot of politicians love to talk a lot about how much they support Indigenous people or any other group of people just to gain social credibility, I guess. But I would say, yeah. And go to events to show support for the cause. So a lot of them already passed today, but I do know that SFU is hosting a panel discussion, reception, and screening of a documentary from 3 to 8 p.m. today in the SFU Woodwards building, which is on 149th West Hastings Street. So yeah, you can go check it out. I mean, there's still 2 hours more or an hour and a half if you're in the area. And finally, I wanted to just say that you should listen to Indigenous voices about this issue too. And we have a ton of amazing Indigenous programming on CJSF. So I just wanted to shout out a couple of the programs. There's also this new program that I'm really interested in and just wanted to talk about for a little bit. But the first one is Words and Culture. It was on earlier today, actually, on Tuesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. Then there's also Free Voices from Thursdays 3 to 4 p.m. And then there's this new show, Manuk Me. It's on Thursdays, but I could not find the time for the life of me on the website. So I'll probably come back maybe next week or write it when I post this episode what the time is. But yeah, it's called Manuk Me, and it focuses on Indigenous youth and music across Turtle Island. And it's run by a volunteer named Caitlin, and she does sound art that's interspersed throughout the show. So I just think that's just a really cool concept. And I've listened to, there's only been, I think, around two episodes so far, but they're really well done. And I definitely encourage you to check it out. And yeah, without the station's listeners, just like you, these programs, alongside many other wonderful shows that, you know, highlight voices that are often ignored in the mainstream media, would not be able to thrive or even run. So yeah, I just want to take a moment to thank you, the listener, whoever is listening right now, for just, yeah, making the programming we do at CJSF possible. And it's so sad that DJ Coco is not here right now, because yeah, since I started the show with her, I think it's helped both of us kind of realize that our voices do have a place, and we're not gonna get cut off, well, maybe by each other, but we have a space to talk about things that are important to us. And you know, whatever is like important to us hopefully is also important to you, or at least makes you think about what might be important to you. And yeah, I feel like this show has just helped me be a little less scared of taking up too much space or talking too much. Still definitely something I do need to work on, because I was nervous for this show to be doing it all by myself today and not having, you know, someone else to bounce off of or take over if things get awkward or something. I don't know. So yeah, it's definitely just helped me realize the fears of being vulnerable and making mistakes, because as this is a live show, you can't really go back and repronounce a word that you truly messed up, which every time I mispronounce a word on this show, I'm like, no, this is the end. Like, I've already done it three or four times, but you know, you just have to keep going. Even if you say the wrong thing, it's okay. It's a learning process anyways, and you can always correct yourself now or later. So yeah, I just wanted to thank you all again for making this possible, taking part in your community, and supporting independent media. And that is kind of what makes CJSF truly great, is our listeners and being able to make the programming that we do. So yeah, I think that's it for me now. Gonna get back to the music with Cootie Catcher. Love that name. They are an indie pop band from Toronto. So many new genre names are sprouting up out of nowhere, like country gothic. This one is classified as laptop twee. I don't know. Let me know if you catch the laptopness of this twee.